Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Dalid. Again, next week I am still, as of now, planning on being in Eretz Yisrael for the week. Alicia will give shir on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Rabbi Balzum on Shabbos. I don't have anybody yet for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but that's how it will, in all likelihood, work out. I may come home before Shabbos, not sure yet, so we'll see. We are holding on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Today's Daf in Daf Mem Dalet actually discusses two topics. First discussion of the Daf is the issue of Muktzah of a Ner, and the most important thing to keep in mind when we discuss anything about Ner in Chazal or in the Gemara is that Ner is not like a classic wax candle that we would think of. A Ner is a small pottery kli that they would fill with oil and they would have a wick sticking out of the side. It's an entirely different thing. It's not like it's a kli. It's not just a candle. And the second topic of the daf is going to be the effect of hazmana, of dedicating an object for a certain use, even if the item was never actually used in that way, on the effect of that concept of hazmana on muktzah. For example, if you intend to use a box to hold money, even without ever having put money in the box, does that make the box muktzah because that's its intended use, to use it for money? But we left off, we first have to finish off this discussion of a mace. We said that if you have a mace that's mutal b'chama on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, if you have a mace that's in the sun and it's going to decompose quickly, so Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says you have to be hovcho mimita l'mita, you should be metaltal minatzad by switching him over from one bed to another bed. And Rabbi Chanina Bar Shlami Mishmei Derav said, no, you maniach lov kikar otinok umetaltal, the only way to move him is by putting either a loaf of bread or a child on him and then moving the two of them together, being metaltal the two of them together. So the Gemara just comments, we finished with yesterday, hecha di'ika kikarotinok kuli amalo pligi deshari. If you actually have a kikarotinok, then everyone would say that it's mutter. They're not arguing about whether that's an effective way to move the mace. Everyone holds that's fine. Ki pligi delesle. The whole machlokas is, what if you don't have a kikarotinok? Is there any other way to move him? So ma'asavar tiltul matzad shmei tiltul, ma'asavar lo shmei tiltul. So it's on that that Rabbi Yudom or Shmuel holds tiltul matzad is not a problem of muktzah, and Rabbi Chanina bar Shlamya mishmei derav holds that tiltul matzad is a problem of muktzah, and your only option is a kikar otinok. So we mentioned yesterday that in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Yesh Misha Omer that's only when the mace is arum, but when the mace has clothing on, it's mutter, and you don't need a kikarotino, because the whole point is that you have another kli that's not muktzah that's being moved together with the mace. So that's only an issue if the mace, so the only problem would be if the mace doesn't have another kli, but most mason die with clothing on, and therefore they do have another kli on them. Magen Avraham, Sivkat and Tazayin, however, in Siman Shin Yud Aleph, quotes that the Shlach HaKadosh asks on that what do we do with the story of David HaMelech? David HaMelech went out to go see what the rustling of the trees was all about, and he was climbing on the ladder, and the step came out from the ladder, and he stopped learning Torah for a second. He was pasuk pumei migirsa, and that's when the Melech HaMavis was able to get him. And the Gemara discusses how they were able to move the body. They needed a kikar otinok in order to move the body. What do you mean that David HaMelech, when he was going to check what was going on, was arum, that he wasn't wearing any clothing? That would be highly unlikely. So that's the kasha of the Shulchan Kadosh. So says the Magen Avraham that Big Day David, Hayu Muktzin, that maybe the Begadim of David wouldn't be a good raya, because yes, David was wearing clothing, but David's clothing is Muktzah, because the Sarfan Ala Malachim, that we burn the clothing of a king, because no one else is allowed to use the clothing of the king. So the Taz over there in Sivkat and Dalid, I'm sorry, the Machsa Shekel over there quotes this Kasha in the name of Marshak, that which was Soreit Fa'ala Malachim is not a Chiyuv, it's only for a Hedyot that it's usher to use a Melech's clothing, but another Melech is allowed to use it. So David HaMelech's clothing shouldn't have been Muktza, it's just limited in its potential usage, but it's not completely unusable for any other human being. Another Melech would be allowed to use it. So the Machsa Shekel quotes from a Gadol Echad, that's Metari, it's based on what it says in Yerodea Simin Shin Samach Dalin. That if a person falls from a gag, he should be buried together with his clothing. So David also, even the ifchas dargum mitu save a mace. How did David fall? How did David die? He fell. So since he died from falling, it's like a case of nafal min agag, and therefore he had to be buried with his clothing. If he has to be buried with his clothing, then his clothing are going to be muktzah. Then they're not usable for anybody else. Machzor Shaguch says he's still not thrilled with that, because the Mashmos of the Gemara is not that he fell from the Nefila, it's that he fell when he stopped learning for a second, that he fell, and then he paused from his learning, and that's when he died. But L'chora, that's not such a strong kasha, because, yeah, the reason spiritually that he died was that he stopped learning, but the way it physically happened in this world was by falling. If people were to ask, how did David HaMelech die? They would say, oh, he had a nasty fall. And that's the Malach HaMavos got him on the, was able to kill him with that fall, because on the way down, he stopped learning for a second. So that's why his begadim were mukza. Now the Tosos Rid, Sharmi Tzon Balach over here points out, that the Tosos Rid asked the Kasha, Maishna Kikor Otinok Mekele Muchanim. Why is a Kikor Otinok different than any other kli? Why don't you take anything? Take a chair. Take anything. What is it? What do you need a Kikor Otinok? Why do we dafka single out those things? So he says, dafka Kikor Otinok, where no one is ever going to assume that it's going to be nikbarimo, that it's going to be buried with him. But sometimes with other kelim, there is a practice that some people have that they'll throw certain kelim that were very associated with that mace together into the ground with the mace. That's Binyamin Pam told me that they buried Rav Pam with his Mishra Brura, because they felt that he was so clever. Then afterwards they realized he had notes in that Mishra Brura, and that, you know, they just lost all that forever. But sometimes they have such a practice that when a person had a very close connection to those kelim, they would put those his clay tashmisho together with him. That's why it's dafka kikor otino. That would answer the question with the clothing, that you don't want to use the clothing because you dafka want to use something that's so clearly separate from the mace and is never going to look like someone was. Is ever going to look like he was going to be buried with that item. In Chashuk Echemer of Zilberstein deals with the Shaila, a person dies on a bench on Shabbos Kodesh and there's no Kikar Otinok to be metaltel. Can you just move the bench that he's on? Can you move him al yedei the bench? So he quotes our Gemara on Shabbos, Meis Mutal B'chama, so this Machlokas with Tiltul Minatzad, and he says that if you look in the Gilyan HaShas that we saw yesterday, the Gilyan HaShas says, why isn't the Mita itself, why isn't the bed itself considered a Kli? Why do you need a Kikar Otinok? And he leaves it as a tzorach in gadol. So the Rashash is mitarets. The Rashash writes, "V'li nira d'hatnan amotzi asachay b'mita pater afalamita shamita tfeililo." That if one carries a chai, a living person, out on a bed, he's pater for carrying the bed because the bed is considered secondary to the person. So it sounds that you're pater on the mita, and you're pater for the chai because the chai knows seyasatzmo. You're pater for the mita because you're not carrying a mita. You're carrying a person who happens to be on a bed. So maybe you could say the same thing, that a mita is tafel to the mace. So it's not going to help to be metaltel al yedei the mita. The mita is considered part of the dead body. But based on that svara, the whole kasha that we were discussing with David HaMelech l'chora doesn't make much sense. You don't need any of these two roots. And according to the Rasha, I mean, what do we ask by David HaMelech? That his clothing should have been enough to be matir carrying him. But if you can say a bed that a person is on is tafel to the mace, l'chora kal v'chomer, that clothing that a person is going to wear is going to be tafel to the mace. So if you hold this yisod of the Rashash, then that kasha would not be a kasha to begin with. But says the Gemara now, lema ketanai, two lines before the lines get wide on mem gimel and beis, lema ketanai, maybe this issue of tiltul minatzad is actually a subject of machlokas tanaim. Ein matzilin asameis mepnei adleika, you're not allowed to save a dead body from a burning building on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, shamati shematzilin asameis mepnei adleika, I heard you are allowed to save a dead body from a burning building on Shabbos. Say chidami, what's the case? If there's a Kikar Otinok, so why would the Tanakama say you're not allowed to save the mace? You're always allowed to move a mace al yidei Kikar Otinok. And if there's no Kikar Otinok, then why does Rabbi Ben Lakish think it's okay? So don't you see, this is a Machlokas Tanaim about Tiltul Minatzad. Can you move the mace in an indirect way? That one shita, the shita that says you're not allowed to save the mace from the burning building holds, that tiltul minatzad is not an option because that's still called tiltul muktza. The shita that says you are allowed to save the mace from the burning building holds tiltul minatzad is a viable option, and that's how you save the mace, with an indirect tiltul. So don't you see that this issue of tiltul minatzad is machlokas tanaim? Says the Gemara, no, it's not at all. Lo, tekuli alma tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul. Everyone would agree tiltul minatzad is called moving muktza, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. Why is it that Rabbi Ben Lakish allows removing the mace from the burning building, ay, isn't removing a mesa violation of muktzah. To me, talk shadam ba'ol al meso, ilo sharisei asi lichbuye. Yes, it's a violation of muktzah, but it's the lesser of two evils. If we don't allow a person to save his dead relative from a burning building, what he's likely to do is violate the melacha d'oraisa of extinguishing the fire in the burning building instead, and that's obviously much worse than violating muktzah. So in order to stop him from violating a worse iser, the chacham allowed him to violate muktzah. Frek tells us, wait a second, when he's saving money in his house, we say the exact opposite svara. If you look at Tosos, mitok shadim bal al meso, yilo sharis leyasi lechuyeh, v'afagav degabe mamon amrinon ipcha. When it comes to money, later on, kufyat zaynam beis, we're going to say the exact opposite svara, namely, isharis leyasi lechuyeh, that we're worried that if you allow the guy to go in to save his money, to save his possessions, then he's going to extinguish the flame. If you don't allow him in, he won't extinguish the flame, he'll just walk away. So Haina Mishum, so Tosa says that's because Shein Mitzar al Mamono Kama al Meso. When it comes to his money, it's not nearly as distressing to him to see his money burn in his house as it is to see his dead body, his dead relative, burn in his house. V'isharislei mitok she'etaru lahatzil yishkach shayom Shabbos v'yavu lichbos b'shogeg. When it comes to his money, we're not worried that someone's going to be evil and try to be mechal Shabbos on purpose. It's that if we allow him to save certain things, then he's going to realize he can't save everything, and he's going to forget that it's Shabbos. He's going to get so caught up in what he's doing, he's going to forget that it's Shabbos, and he's going to put out the flame. Aval al meso mitzta'er b'yoser. But when it comes to a dead body, he's more mitzta'er. V'lo sharislei asi lichbuyi b'me. It. And if you don't allow him to go in there, and he knows that his dead relative is burning in that building, he's going to be mechabe b'mezid. We assume that his yetzer hara is going to get the best of him. It's not that he's going to forget and b'shogeg put out the fire. He's going to do it b'mezid because of this great tsar over the loss of the body of his dead relative. Why is there so much greater tsar for the relative than there is for the money? So presumably it's because of the emotional connection, the emotional attachment. So Rishon Mitzvah and Balach suggests that maybe it's because Mamon Yesh Chalipin. Money can make more money. You can buy new things. Things, as everyone was saying after the hurricane, what I lost is stuff. That's what we always remind us of. No matter what people lost, for the most part, over here at least, what we lost was stuff. We didn't lose people. We didn't lose something that's hopefully that's irreplaceable. But when it comes to a person's mace, when it comes to his dead relative, so that's irreplaceable. That's not something he's never going to be able to bring the mace. The Kever Yisrael, and that's something that's going to wear on him and going to weigh on his head for the rest of his life. So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish when it comes to a dead body. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, who says that you are allowed to be matzil l'meis mipnei hadleika because we're afraid that you can extinguish the flame if we don't allow that tiltal muktzah. The Mishnah then said that when you have this ner, you're not allowed to be neosne menu, you're not allowed to use that oil that drips from it because it's eno minamuchan, because it's mukza. So Tan Rabban, we have a braisa, mosar shemen shabiner v'shabakara, Asr, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, whether the leftover oil in a ner or a ka'ara after it's already extinguished and it's no longer being used to supply the candle, to fuel the candle, so whether it's mutter to use such shemen or not. Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter because, again, Rabbi Shimon's definition of muktzah is a much more limited definition of muktzah. The Gemara has an expression that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah. It means he doesn't hold of most types of muktzah. So Rabbi Shimon is matir over here. Next Mishnah, metal, and this begins our discussion of a ner. Metal ner chadash of the muktzah status of a ner. Metal ner chadash of a lo yashan. You're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. You're allowed to move a new ner that has never been used before, but not an old ner that's already been used. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol aneros metaltalin chutz mer ner adolik b'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says, you can use any ner, you're allowed to be metaltal any ner, except for a ner that was lit on Shabbos. So the Mishnah only quotes two shittos, but the Gemara is going to start with a braisa that quotes four shittos. Just by way of introduction to this braisa, the four shittos, the various opinions about the ner depend on what you hold about four different topics. We get into a whole bunch of different topics relating to muktzah. The first topic, the first pertinent issue, is whether muktzah machmas mius is considered to be muktzah. The ner at some point might become mius, it might become disgusting, and therefore it would we have to figure out what we hold about muktzah machmas mius when determining the muktzah status of a ner. The second issue is whether muktzah machmas iser is considered to be muktzah. The ner may have been lit on Shabbos, so it's muktzah machmas iser, because an iser is violated in making the ner. The third issue is to what extent we worry that handling a ner daluk will cause you to be mechabe. To what extent we're worried that shami yechabe, that just moving around the ner is going to cause it to be extinguished. That may relate to the muktzah status of the ner. And the final issue is to what extent does a person assume before Shabbos that a ner is going to be available to him for the duration of Shabbos. Meaning, to what extent does he put it out of his mind, and to what extent does he think that it's still going to be available to him. So let's see, given those four factors, let's see the braisa. Says the braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Metaltel ner chadash avalo yashan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to be metaltel a new unused ner, but you're not allowed to be metaltel an old disgusting used ner. This is because Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about muktzah machmas mius. If it's a ner chadash, it's never been used, so it's not muktzah. But if it's a ner yashan, it's already been used, it's a piece of pottery that's already been used, so it's going to be muktzah because of muktzah machmas mius. Rameir Omer, kala neros metaltlin, chutz mer ner shedlika bo b'Shabbos. Rameir holds, all candles are okay, except for a ner shedlika bo b'Shabbos, unless it was lit during that Shabbos. That reflects a concern on Rabbi Meir's part from muktzah machmas iser, but not from muktzah machmas mius. Because again, Rabbi Meir says, a ner yashan is not a problem, it's only a problem if it leaks above a Shabbos. So Rabbi Meir is only concerned about muktzah machmas iser, not concerned about muktzah machmas mius. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chutz min ner hadolek b'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon holds that neros are not muktzah, except for a ner hadolek b'Shabbos. It's only muktzah while it's still lit. Not enough that it was lit at some point over that Shabbos. It's only muktzah so long as it's still lit. Kavsa, once it's extinguished, mutal taltala. Then it becomes mutter to be metaltal such a ner. Aval kos uka'ara va'ashashis li'azizam yimakamam. But larger kalim that hold oil and a wick and a flame, you're not allowed to move at all, according to Rabbi Shimon. So apparently, Rabbi Shimon is not worried about muktzah machmas mius, because he makes no mention of a ner yashan. He's not even worried about muktzah machmas iser, because a ner that was lit on Shabbos, as long as it's not still lit, would be fine. So apparently he's not worried about muktzah machmas iser. So what's his concern? Why are you not allowed to move it only when it's still lit? Apparently his concern is shami yichabe. You may come to extinguish the flame while it's lit. So while it's lit, don't be metaltel it. What about this last part about aval kos ukara v'ashashas le'azizam yimakom? What does that have to do with anything? What rule does that add in this view of Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara is going to discuss that, and the Gemara is going to discuss whether Rabbi Shimon in fact ever said this line, or this maybe is an add-on to Rabbi Meir Shita. So we'll leave that out for now. But the simple understanding of Rabbi Shimon Shita is that he's not worried about muktzah machmas mius, not worried about muktzah machmas iser, he's only worried about shema yichabe, that you can come to extinguish the flame. That's why you shouldn't be walking around holding a candle, a lit candle on Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon is the fourth shita, mistapik min haner, hakava umin hashem na metavtef, va'afilu b'shoa shaner dolek. You're allowed to be mistopic from the ner once it's extinguished, and it's not a problem of, it's obviously not going to be a problem of mechab anymore once it's extinguished, and you're allowed to take from the oil on the taftaf, even the dripping oil, even when the ner is still lit. So he holds you can even handle the ner while it's still lit. He's just not allowed to take from the oil while it's still lit, but you're allowed to handle the ner while it's still lit. Apparently, he's not even worried about the muktzah of shami yichabe. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Savar l'kavua b'chada, u'palag alei b'chada. Rabbi Lazar, of Rabbi Shimon, who is the final Shita, the fourth Shita, must agree with his father, Rabbi Shimon, the third Shita, on one issue, and disagree with him on another issue. Savala kavua b'chada de lesle muktza. On the one hand, he agrees with his father that there's no issue of muktza machmas miyos, there's no issue of muktza machmas iser, right? The Rabbi Shimon had rejected those categories of muktza, so Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon also rejects those categories of muktza, but upalagale b'chada dilu avua savar kava in lo kava lo viyu savar afakav de lo kava. Where he disagrees with his father is whether you're worried about moving a lit candle and the possibility that you're going to extinguish the flame while moving the lit candle. Rabbi Shimon was worried about that and said, therefore, you're not allowed to move a lit candle. And Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, his son, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, was not worried about that. And therefore, he held, you are allowed to move a lit candle. Shar Mitzvah Ba'alach over here, and really pretty much everywhere this comes up, discusses, wait a second, the halacha in Yeridea, Simin Reish Mem, and Hilchos Kibbut Av Ve'Em, is that a person is not allowed to be cholik alavim. You're not allowed to disagree with your father. Your father says something, you're not allowed to disagree. So what do you mean, palag alei b'chada? Blazer Reb Shimon is palag alei b'chada. So it's pashup pshat, and it's clear in halacha, that that's true in Dvarim Shalchol. Your father says, you know, I think that this is going to happen politically or whatever. So you shouldn't disagree, even though you could disagree in your mind, but you shouldn't express disagreement. But when it comes to halacha, when you feel that you have the MS, so you're allowed to disagree. Adrabah, you're mechuyev lechor to disagree. We have all the time that the Torah quotes Adoni Avi Arash Zal, and then he always disagrees with Adoni Avi Arash Zal. So how's he, not always, but rarely, but he does every once in a while disagree with Adoni Avi Arash. So how is he allowed to do that? Because in Halacha, that's what the Gemara in Kiddushin says. Es vehev besufa. The Gemara says that when afilu avu b'no, that sit and learn, it looks like they're fighting with each other, and there is when they're sitting and learning with each other, that they're arguing, and then at the end of the day, the relationship is so much stronger. They love each other even more after the learning experience. But during the learning experience, they're fighting with each other. How's a son allowed to fight with his father? No, he's allowed to argue. He's encouraged to argue with his father in learning. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, we shouldn't be bothered that he's allowed to disagree with his father. But there was one line in this brisa that we were not able to explain. We were able to explain four shittos, what everyone was worried about. The Rabbi Yehuda was worried about Muktzah Machmas Miyos. Rabbi Meir was worried about Muktzah Machmas Iser. Rabbi Shimon was worried about Shami Yechabe. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon was worried about nothing. Right? So we were able to explain all those shittos, but there was this one line, Aval Kosu Ka'ara Va'ashashis Lo Yaziza Mimakomam. Right after we mentioned Rabbi Shimon Shita, we said that a Kosu Ka'ara or Ashashis cannot be moved at all. So Maishna Hani, what are these Kalim that all of a sudden you're not allowed to move them? According to Rabbi Shimon. So Amrullah Seifa Son Rabbi Yehuda. Now this line is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of a more expanded definition of muktzah, so he would say these large kelim you're not allowed to move. So then why is it aval? What do you mean? That's exactly Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yehuda holds mitaltel ner chadash avalo yashan. You're not allowed to move a lot of things because they're muktza. So why is it aval? Elam marzut liolam Rabbi Shimon. Now really, it's going within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. V'chikashar Rabbi Shimon v'nerzuta didaite lave. Now when is Rabbi Shimon matir moving a candle that's extinguished? That's only if it's a small candle where you figured before Shabbos that it would be extinguished before the end of Shabbos. So you're relying on the possibility of having that candle available to you at some point during Shabbos. Aval hani dinefishi lo. But these types of candles are like the Yahrzeit candles. So they're going to last a very long time. So when Shabbos started, you never had in your mind the possibility that it would become available to you over Shabbos. And that's what makes it muktzah. So that's kika shari Rabbi Shimon ben Nerzut d'ayt de'levei. Rabbi Shimon would agree you can't move larger neros even after they're extinguished, because you never would have thought that ner would ever be available to you on Shabbos. I have a tiny Moser Hashem Shabiner Vishabakara Asr of Rabbi Shimon Matir, but didn't we learn that if you have Moser Hashem and Shabiner, or even in a Ka'ara is one of these larger Kalim, Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter to use the leftover oil from the Ka'ara. I thought it should be Muksa because it's so large, so you would assume that you're never going to use it on Shabbos, so shouldn't that make it Muksa? So Hasam Ka'ara Dumi Diner, Hacha Ka'ara dum yidikos. A ka'ara could sometimes mean a large kli, sometimes mean a small kli. You have to look at context. When the ka'ara is on the same list as ner, when we talk about mosar Hashem shebe ner v'shebe ka'ara, then we're likely talking about a small ka'ara that's roughly the same size as a ner. When we talk about a ka'ara and a ashashis and a kos, so then it's probably a ka'ara that's a larger ka'ara, similar to a kos and ashashis. Period. I'm Rabbi Zera. Pamach l'diku baba Shabbos l'divrei matir aser l'divrei oser matir. If you have a menorah, a metal menorah, not a pottery ner, but rather something that holds flames, that's made out of metal. Now the difference between pottery and metal is that metal can be cleaned, so it doesn't become mius when you use it one time. So if you have this metal menorah, so the one who held that it was mutter now holds aser. The one who held aser now holds mutter. What does that mean? Meaning Reb Meir, who allowed a ner yashan because he wasn't worried about muksa machnas mius, is going to say that a metal menorah is aser because it's muksa machmas iser. Meaning if you lit it on Shabbos, he would still hold this is a problem of muksa machmas iser. Rabbi Yehuda, who held a ner yashan is aser because it's ma'is, over here we'll allow it because he holds muksa machmas iser. Meaning the chiddush of this line is as follows. We thought we could have read the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Meir is Rabbi Yehuda holds muksa machmas mius. Reb Meir says, nah, I'm not worried about muksa machmas mius, I'm only worried about muksa machmas iser. But from reading that, you might think Rabbi Yehuda is also worried about muksa machmas iser. It's just that in addition to muksa machmas iser, Rabbi Yehuda is even more machmir. He holds a both muksa machmas iser and muksa machmas mius. Then Reb Meir says, nah, not worried about muksa machmas mius, only muksa machmas iser. What this line is mechadish to us, the way Rashi reads it at least, is that Rabbi Yehuda holds of only muksa machmas mius. He has no concern of muksa machmas iser, and therefore, if you can come up with a case where there's iser but no mius, like a metal kli that holds a flame, so Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be worried about it. But Reb Meir will be worried about it because Reb Meir is worried about muksa machmas iser. So says the Gemara, wait, lemeimer Reb Yehuda muksa machmas mius islay muksa machmas iser leslay. Do you mean to tell me that Reb Yehuda doesn't hold of muksa machmas iser? Vatanya Reb Yehuda amar kala neru shel mataches metaltlin chutz min aner shedliku bo b'shabbes. Doesn't Reb Yehuda say that a ner of mataches, a metal ner that you lit on Shabbos, that was lit on Shabbos, is usher? Why would that be usher? Because Rabbi Yehuda obviously does hold of muksa machmas iser. Eliyin mar hachi it mar. Now what we mean to say is as follows: Amar Rabbi Zera pamut shedliku lav b'shabbes divrei hakol usher. If you lit it on Shabbos and it's metal, everyone would hold it's usher because that's muksa machmas iser. Lo adliku lav divrei hakol mutter. If it was not lit on Shabbos, then everyone would hold its mutter, because there's no muksa machmas iser, it was never lit on Shabbos, and there's no muksa machmas mius, because it's made out of metal. That's the chiddush that should have been said. That's what we meant to say. Now, Tosfos points out when the Gemara says l'divrei matir aser, Rashi explains that's talking about Reb Meir. Reb Meir, who is matir, who was matir in the previous case by ner yashan, would say that it's aser by this metal ner. So frak Tosfos vim tomar my kamashmul and habehedya ka aser Reb Meir ner shedliku babos haShabbos. What would the chiddush then be that if you have a lit ner on Shabbos, that it's aser in the Bryce itself, from Meir said, muksa machmas iser. Meaning, the chiddush of the Divrei Oser Matir, and Sen, that's a chiddush that you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of muksa machmas iser, which is what we thought the chiddush was at first. So I understand, that's a very great chiddush. It's in fact such a great chiddush, it's wrong. The Gemara has to backtrack on it. But to tell me that Rabbi Meir holds of muksa machmas iser, that's not a chiddush Rabbi Meir said so explicitly in the Bryce. So he says, V'yeshlom, the Havamina hani mili b'ner shel cheres disbeitarti. Now, the Havamina would have been, according to the way Rashi understands it, is that when does Reb Meir hold that muksa machmas iser is going to be a problem? When you have two types of muksa simultaneously. When it's muksa machmas iser and muksa machmas mius at the same time, then he holds it becomes muksa. But if it's only muksa machmas iser, if you only have the iser issue and you don't have the mius issue, then it wouldn't be a problem. It's only the combination of the factors that's going to cause a problem. That's how you have to explain the Hava Amina according to Rashi. However, Rabbeinu Tam has a totally different understanding of what L'divrei Matir Aser is. Rabbeinu Tam, if you look weiter and tells, says, Umefarish v'chein pirush rach L'divrei Matir hainu Rabbi Shimon. That L'divrei Matir means Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Neros are not muksa at all, except if it was if it's still lit, right? Rabbi Shimon holds only if it's still lit because Hashem Yechaba, but he doesn't hold the Mitzvah Machmas Yisra at all. So Aser Kan Bepamut Apam Gadol who could cause the Karav Ashashes come up Pamuto Shal Beis Rabbi the Shili Kol Kisvei. He would Aser with this ner of metal because the ner of metal is a large kli and he's worried about large kelim. L'Divrei Oser that would be Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda who Aser with the ner Shal Cheres that was lit on Shabbos because they both hold the Mitzvah Machmas Yisra. Then it would be mutter. That's how Rabbeinu Tam. That's how Rabbeinu Tam understands. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. We're at the two dots now, two lines from the bottom. Amrav Yehuda. So Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Mita sheyichta lemos asal letatl. If you have designated a mita to be used for handling money, for holding money, so you're not allowed to be metaltal that mita because it's already considered to be meant to be used for money. If you look at Tosos, nirada afilu letzoruch gufa letzoruch makoma aser. When we say it's aser to be metaltal it, we mean that it's even aser when you need it or you need the place that it's occupying. Dekivon sheyichta lemos shuvein osin menashum tashmish. Because once you miyachid a mita for money, you're not going to do anything else with it. Vahavi kechatzotzos to asal letaltal of Rabbi Yehuda, I feel it's sarach gufa makoma. It's like chatzotzos, like musical instruments, that you're not allowed to be metaltal even sarach gufa letzorach makoma. However, ul Rabbi Shimon lo asur shum muksal letzorach gufa makoma, ela muksamach mas chesrum kis. Rabbi Shimon would never say that there's something that you're not allowed to move even sarach gufa makoma except for muksamach mas chesrum kis. So if this box is not muksamach mas chesrum kis, it's not something that you would hesitate to use for another purpose because of its value and you're afraid of ruining it, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be allowed to be metaltal it on Shabbos. So again, Rabbi Yudam Rav says, Mita sheikh l'mos, asal taltala. Meisver, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, metaltal ner chadash, aval lo yashan. But wait a second, didn't we say that you're allowed to be metaltal ner chadash, but not a ner yashan? That was the sheet of Rabbi Yuda. Umay ner, so the point is, ner chadash. Ner chadash has never been used. What makes it a ner then? What makes it a ner is that you designated it to be used as a ner. You took this kli, and you decided you want to in the future use it as a ner. And what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Metaltalin. You're allowed to be metaltalin. So uman ner de la hachi avida kilo hidlik bashari shari litultula mita de la hachi avida lo kolshkein. A ner which is made, the whole fashioning of the kli is made for that use, to be used as a ner. So it's a super asmana. It's not only that you decided you want to use it as a ner. It looks like a ner. It's made like a ner. It's made only for that purpose. And yet still we're going to say that the asmana is not enough to make it muksa. So a mita where you decided, it wasn't made for ma'os, but you decided you're going to use it for money. So then all the more so, it should, the hazmana shouldn't be so powerful to make it muksa. So why does the hazmana by the money make it muksa? Says Gemara, Eli I itmar hachi itmar. So we have to reformulate the statement. The statement should go as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mita sheyichta lemos. If you designated a mita for money, you haven't yet used it, you just designated it. So hiniach lemos asal taltala. When's it going to become asal to move it? Only when you actually put money on it. If hiniach lemos, at that point, it's going to be asal to be metaltal. Lo hiniach lemos, mutal taltala. If you didn't put any money on it, then it's going to be mutter to be metaltal the ner. Very similar to what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Ches. The Gemara says if you have high sudra to azmine the meitzer beit tefillin. Let's say you have a bag or a cloth that you are mazmin to wrap your tefillin in. You decide you want to use this as your tefillin bag or as the cloth that's going to wrap your tefillin. Vitzar beit tefillin asur lemeitzer beit pshiti. If you then wrap your tefillin in it, so then you're not allowed to wrap coins in it or use it for anything else. Azmine velo tsarbe, o tsarbe velo azmine. Let's say you designated it to be used as a tefillin bag, but you never actually used it as a tefillin bag. Or you use something as a tefillin bag, but you never designated it for use as a tefillin bag, then mutter, then it's permitted. So the same thing over here. In order for it to become asr, you need hazmana and to actually use it for the sake of money. You need to be mazmin it for the money and to use it for the sake of money. Very similar to what we have by tefillin, by tashmishei kedusha. When it comes to our tefillin bags, typically speaking, when we have that plastic cover, so the plastic cover is not a tefillin bag. That's not huzman to, that's not something that we're mazmin for tefillin. That's something that we're mazmin to protect the tefillin bag, not the tefillin. The bag is protecting, the inside bag is protecting the tefillin. And most of the time, people assume that they'll want to put other things in that plastic bag. A mirror, a sitter, tissues, I don't know, other things, and therefore it's not at all a problem to use the outside plastic bag. But the actual bag that holds the tefillin, that is huzman for tefillin, and it's been used for tefillin, so you're not allowed to add other things and put other things in the bag. It was made for that purpose. So this is a similar concept over here by Muktzah. So if you were miyachid it for ma'os and you used it for ma'os, asl taltala. But if you never used it for ma'os, you were just miyachid, then it's a mutter to be metaltal. I frektosos, what about chatzotzros? Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Lamed Vav says that chatzotzros are mutzi even if you never used it. So he says, chatzotzros, thus Rabbi Yehuda Lael, nir l'ri da asra afilu lo takaba de chatzotzros lo chazia elo l'tkia. The reason chatzotzros are going to be mutzi even though you never actually use them is because that's all they can be used for. Vein l'chalik bein taka l'lo taka. So there's no reason to distinguish between whether you actually used it or didn't actually use it. That's all it can be used for. Avol mita v'ner chazia l'tashma. But the mita and the ner could be used for other things. Even the ner, again, the ner is not a wax candle. The ner is a kli. It's a piece of pottery that could hold non-dairy creamer or milk for a coffee. It could hold anything if it hasn't been used yet. So that's why it's different than chatzotzros. Vayter in the Gemara, lo yichta lema'os. What if you have not yet even been miyached it for money? You haven't even designated it to be used for money. So yesh lema'os asal l'taltla. If it has money on it, so then you're not allowed to be metaltalit. Ein aleha ma'os mutal taltla. If there's no money on it right now, even if there once was money on it, you're going to be allowed to be metaltalit. Why? Because you weren't miyachidit for money. In order for it to be also, you need both. You need to have been miyachidit and actually once used it. But this is assuming that there wasn't money on it throughout Ben Hashmashos. If there was money on it throughout the entire period of Ben Hashmashos, then it's going to be aser because migo diskatzai lebin hashmashos is katzai lekulei yoma. Now, if you look at Tosos, yeshala mos, we said it's aser l'tatla. If there's money on it right now at this moment, even though you were never miyachid it for money, you're not allowed to be metatlet. Tosos points out al karchach b'maniach ayri. It has to be talking about where you purposely placed the money there. De b'shachach tran perik notel. Because if you forgot and accidentally left the money there, we're going to learn later on minar hakarvei noflos. You're allowed to just move the item underneath it, shake it out, and let it fall off the bed. Move the cover, the sheets, and let it shake off the bed. U'b'maniach b'shabbos ayri. And so we're talking about where you put it there on purpose. And we have to be talking about that you put it there on purpose on Shabbos. To be niach mibod yom vayu ala ben hashmashos afilu ein ala maos asal tat look at the kamer b'seifa the mil say, because if you put it there on erev Shabbos, well then it was there for ben hashmashos, and that's what we're about to, the next line that we already read said that if it was there for the entire ben hashmashos muksa anyway. So this money that's on the bed that we're saying that you're not allowed to move the bed when the money's on it has to be that you put it there purposely, and it has to be that it was put there on Shabbos. So says Tosus, I have a very simple question. How did it get there? How are you allowed to do that? V'kasha, de'ich yachol liyo sh'maniach l'das b'Shabbos. How could it be that l'das, you put it there in Shabbos? What, b'rashi yaskinan? We're dealing with a Rasha who's handling money and now he decides to ask a shayla about muktzah after he handled money and put it there on purpose on the bed on Shabbos. So it says, Tosafos Yeshlomar, kigon she'niach nachri o tinok l'das Yisrael. We're dealing with a case where a goy or a tinok put it there l'das Yisrael, with the das, with the knowledge of the Yisrael, of the guy. The Magen Avraham in Simchat Shinta Sivkat Nehei says, why does Tosafos have to add those words l'das Yisrael? He's just trying to explain how it got there. So why don't you say that a nachri or a tinok put it there on purpose? Why do you have to say that it's l'das Yisrael? So he says, shalom midaito, it can't be, something that's his can't be made aser, shalom midaito. You can, part of the, like, similar to the concept, eino d'mosu d'avr sheino shalom, right? Like, for instance, we always give the example, you know, avodah zarah is aser ba'ana. So if I walk outside of my house one morning and I see my neighbor bowing down to my car, so am I not allowed to drive my car now because it's an avodah zarah? No, eino d'mosu d'avr sheino shalom. He can't aser something that that doesn't belong to him. So similarly in the world of mukta, he can't make my stuff mukta by putting money on it, unless it's with my das. Once it's with my das, then it's going to be mutza. That's how then it's going to be mutza. That's how the Magen Avraham understands in Simchat Shintes, Sifkat and Hay. Good. Rabbi Lazar is going to ask Akasha from a Mishnah Meseches Kelim. Mishnah Meseches Kelim has four halachos. Only the the last halacha is going to be relevant to our discussion, but we're going to have to learn all four halachas. Mishnah and Kalim discusses Rashi already on the first two words, Mukhni Shalah, fills us in on what the Mishnah is going to be talking about. Gabe Shida Tanan b'Maseches Kalim, the Agala Shal Eitz Mukefes Mechitzos. We're talking about a large wooden wagon that is surrounded by walls, L'merkav Anashim B'Nashim. Rashi says, and it's meant for people to ride in the wagon. And Mukhni is the Ofen, the Mukhni is the wheel of the wagon. So we're going to discuss various halachas relating to the wheel of a large metal wagon. So four halachas. Masav Reb Lazar, Mukhni Shalah, the wheel of the wagon, Bizmanshi Nishmetes Ein Chiburla. The first halacha is, if the wheel is a removable wheel, so Ein Chiburla, it's not going to be considered one unit together with the wagon in regards to Tumah. Meaning, let's say the wagon becomes Tameh. Is the wheel necessarily Tameh? Let's say the wheel becomes Tameh. Is the wagon necessarily Tameh along with it? So because it's removable, Ein Chiburla, one does not necessarily become Tameh with the other one. The wagon can become Tameh, and the wheel will still remain Tahar. That's halacha number one of Ein Chiburla. Second halacha, ve'einim dedesima. It doesn't get measured together with the wagon. Rashi points out there is a halacha that a kli eitz that could hold 40 sa'ah belach, that's so large that 40 sa'ah of a liquid measure would be able to fit in that kli eitz, is not mekabel tumah, because we compare kli eitz to sak, so such a large kli would not be able to be mekabel tumah. How do we measure the size of that kli, of this wagon? Do we include the size of the wheel together with the rest of the wagon, or do we not include the size of the wheel when figuring out if it's too big to be mekabel tumah? Now, Rashi points out that it's not about what can fit in it, necessarily, when we measure the mem sa'ah. Rather, Rashi says, the Gemara Menachos quotes that Pesil lom nindedes mi bachut. We view the entire wagon as if it's inside of a larger kli. Would that larger kli that could hold this wagon be able to hold memsa? That's the way we measure it. So the question is, do we include the size of the wheel in such a measurement? What's the advantage of measuring it that way? Basil Shita is that you include the thickness of the walls of the wagon also in terms of measuring the memsa. That's what it means. We view it as if it's inside a larger kli. You don't just look at what can actually fit inside of the wagon. So the question of whether it counts toward the memsa'a, that's when the wheel is removable, it doesn't count as part of that memsa'a that would take away its potential to become tameh. Tosus raises the question that if we're talking about a wagon that people could sit in, it should be able to become tameh anyway because of tumas medrash. When the tumas medrash, there's no din of memsa'a of metalat amalei breikin. So Tosus understands we can't be talking about that it's made the moshav anashim benashim. It has to be that it's a wagon that's made to schlep things to put cargo in, but not to put people in. And third halacha now, ve'in matzelas ima ba'ol ames. Let's say the wagon goes into a cemetery. Can it save the kelim that are inside of it from becoming tameh? So typically speaking, if you assume that an ohel zaruk is shmei ohel, that a movable ohel can be called an ohel. So the floor of the wagon should be an ohel and should stop the tumah from going to anything on top of the wagon. Good, so that it can prevent those items from becoming tameh. What about the wheel of the wagon? What if something is right above the wheel of the wagon? Can the wheel also protect it? So if the wheel is a removable wheel, it cannot protect items that are sticking out of the wagon above the wheel from becoming tameh. Again, this assumes the concept of ol zaruk shmei ohel, that even a moving item can serve as a wagon. So it saves from the tumah of ol ames. The fourth halacha, and this is the halacha that's relevant to us. Vein gorunos of Shabbos bisman sheyesh alei maos, and you're not allowed to drag it on Shabbos, the wheel on Shabbos, when it has money on it. So that's halacha number four. So wait a second. That implies ha'ena lehamol sharia avgav dehavuila ben hashmashos. There's our kasha. Sounds like if it doesn't have money on it right now, even though it did have money on it during ben hashmashos, it would be mutter to be metaltal this wheel, to move this wheel. So don't you see that against what we just said? We just said the halacha that if the money that everyone agrees, if it was hayuila ben hashmashos, that it's for sure going to be usher, it's for sure going to be muksa. Says Gemara, he Rabbi Shimon, he the lesle muksa v'rav. Rabbi Yehuda Svirulei. Now that Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold to the concept of Muktza in this regard, and Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he is worried when there was money on Impein HaShemashos. So interesting, Chashuk Echemed, he had the following Shaila. He had a case of a guy who lived in a very bad neighborhood, and every single night, if he would leave his car unprotected, the car would get stolen. There were ganavim all over the place. There was a terrible car theft issue. So he had the Eitza that every night before he went to sleep, he let all the air out of one of his tires. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to do that on Shabbos. Is he allowed to let all the air out of one of his tires on Shabbos in order to protect it? So he says, L'chora, yesh makom lomar, that it's considered soser. Chaznish says that the fact that you're allowed to put a cover on a kli is because a kli is meant to be opened and closed. But this, you're not supposed to always take all your air out of your tires and then put it back. So he says, "V'od nira d'be in yonenu l'kuli alma asr mitam soser shamachonis machzekes memsa." The car could hold memsa, and the Rama writes in Simin Shin Yadalid that it's isfei mishum binyan astira, even though ain binyan bekelim, ain stira bekelim. Once it holds memsa, it goes beyond the size of a kli. So similar to over here in regards to tuma, maybe in regards to binyan astira bekelim also, and therefore shouldn't let out the airs of your tithes. You should probably move also.